Justice Kagan has the opinion of the court in case 22-277, Moody against NetChoice, and the related case 22-555, NetChoice versus Paxton.
These cases are about laws passed by Florida and Texas regulating how social media platforms, including Facebook and YouTube, display user-generated content. The platforms make a host of decisions about whether and how posts should be presented to other users. Some of those decisions are based on what are called content moderation policies, which specify the messages that the platforms ban or discourage, say, hate speech or misinformation on certain topics. The state's laws interfere with those content moderation efforts, limiting when a platform may remove, alter, demote, or label a post. Texas's law, for example, prohibits platforms from disfavoring posts based on viewpoint. That means, for example, that a platform cannot remove a post because it supports terrorism or espouses racism. NetChoice, an industry association whose members include Facebook and YouTube, says that these laws violate the First Amendment, and it brought facial challenges against them. A facial challenge means that NetChoice objected to the laws as a whole, rather than to particular ways the laws might be applied. The district courts in each state entered preliminary injunctions against the laws, but the courts of appeals split. The 11th Circuit upheld the injunction of Florida's law, finding it was not likely to survive First Amendment review. The 5th Circuit reversed the injunction of Texas's law. It mainly argued that the law doesn't regulate speech at all. It also argued that even if speech were involved, the law would pass First Amendment scrutiny because Texas passed it to increase the diversity of ideas on the platform. This opinion has two halves. In the first, we explain why we vacate and remand both decisions. In essence, because both courts of appeals inadequately considered the facial nature of these challenges. They mainly addressed what the parties focused on below, how these laws apply to curated feeds like Facebook's news feed or YouTube's homepage. But argument in this court revealed that the laws might also apply to other things. Do the laws cover, for example, Facebook's direct messaging service? What do the laws have to say about how Gmail filters incoming messages, how Etsy displays customer reviews, or how Venmo or Uber operate? In a facial challenge, the answers matter. The question in that kind of case is not whether a law is unconstitutional in one instance, say as to newsfeed. It is whether across the law's full scope, its unconstitutional applications substantially outweigh its constitutional ones. Neither court approached the inquiry in that way, first determining what the law covers, then deciding what parts of that coverage are constitutional, what parts are not, and comparing the one to the other. But doing that right requires understanding what the First Amendment prohibits. And that brings us to the second half of the opinion. It makes no sense to send these cases back to lower courts to weigh constitutional and unconstitutional applications if those courts don't understand where the constitutional lines are, what makes something unconstitutional. So the opinion explains the relevant principles, and it explains how the Fifth Circuit, in considering Texas's law, misunderstood them. That court was wrong in its analysis concluding that these laws don't touch speech at all, and it was wrong in concluding that even if they do restrict speech, the state's asserted interest in rejiggering the balance of ideas could justify the laws. To explain why, the opinion reviews this court's relevant precedent. These are cases about older and different media, but they continue to have relevance. And we draw three principles from them. First, the First Amendment offers protection when an entity engaged in expressive activity, including an entity compiling and curating third-party speech, is ordered to accommodate messages it would prefer to exclude. To issue that order, is to interfere with a First Amendment right in making editorial judgments. Second, that conclusion doesn't change just because a compiler includes most items and excludes just a few. Indeed, sometimes excluding just a few items packs a peculiarly powerful expressive punch. And third, the government can't get its way, can't override First Amendment rights by asserting an interest in better balancing the marketplace of ideas. Our precedents are clear on this point. The government can't force a private speaker to present views it wishes to spurn in order to rebalance the expressive realm. However imperfect the private marketplace of ideas, here is something worse: the government itself deciding when speech is biased and then coercing speakers to provide more of some views and less of others. Those principles lead us to conclude, on the preliminary record put together so far, that the Texas law is likely to impermissibly regulate speech in the circumstance focused on in the courts below. In other words, when the law is applied to prevent Facebook from using its content moderation policies to curate news feed, or similarly prevent YouTube from doing so for its homepage. In prohibiting those platforms from deleting, demoting, or labeling posts based on content standards, the law interferes with the platform's editorial judgments. And so it prevents the platforms from offering the expressive products that most reflect their own values and priorities. And the state's asserted interest in unskewing the platform's perceived skew cannot justify that interference. But still, that is just one application on a preliminary record, and there may be other applications cutting the opposite way. So the lower courts have much more work to do to properly analyze these facial challenges. But that work must be done consistent with the First Amendment principles our precedents have set out, which we reaffirm today. Justice Barrett has filed a concurring opinion. Justice Jackson has filed an opinion concurring in part and concurring in the judgment. Justice Thomas has filed an opinion concurring in the judgment. Justice Alito has filed an opinion concurring in the judgment, in which Justice Thomas and Justice Gorsuch join.